"To a certain extent," said Vimes. "Ah," said the sergeant happily. "In moderation." "Right you are, sir. And at your own expense." "Oh. But before you go," said the captain, "do either of you know anyone who might know anything about dragons? Apart from sleeping on gold and the bit with the young women, I mean."
"Wizards would," volunteered Nobby.
"Apart from wizards," said Vimes firmly. "You couldn't trust wizards. Every guard knew you couldn't trust wizards. They were even worse than civilians." Colon thought about it. "There's always Lady Ramkin," he said. "Lives in Schoon Avenue, breeds swamp dragons. You know, the little buggers people keep as pets."
"Oh, her," said Vimes gloomily. "I think I've seen her around. The one with the Winnie if you love dragons sticker on the back of her carriage."
"That's her. She's mental," said Sergeant Colon.
"What do you want me to do, sir?" said Carrot.
You have the most important job," said Vimes hurriedly. "I want you to stay here and watch the office."
Carrot's face broadened in a slow, unbelieving grin.
"You mean I'm left in charge, sir?" he said.
"In a manner of speaking," said Vimes, "but you're not allowed to arrest anyone, understand?" he added quickly.
"Not even if they're breaking the law, sir?"
"Not even then. Just make a note of it."
"I'll read my book then," said Carrot, "and polish my helmet."
"Good boy," said the captain. "It should be safe enough," he thought. "No one ever comes in here, not even to report a lost dog. No one ever thinks about the watch. You'd have to be really out of touch to go to the watch for help," he thought bitterly.
Schoon Avenue was a wide, tree-lined and incredibly select part of Ankh, high enough above the river to be away from its all-pervading smell. People in Schoon Avenue had old money, which was supposed to be much better than new money, although Captain Vimes had never had enough of either to spot the difference. People in Schoon Avenue had their own personal bodyguards. People in Schoon Avenue were said to be so aloof they wouldn't even talk to the gods. This was a slight slander. They would talk to gods, if they were well-bred gods of decent family. Lady Ramkin's house was not hard to find. It commanded an outcrop that gave it a magnificent view of the city, if that was your idea of a good time. There were stone dragons on the gatepost, and the gardens had an unkempt, overgrown look. Statues of Ramkins long gone loomed up out of the greenery. Most of them had swords and were covered in ivy up to the neck. Vimes sensed that this was not because the garden's owner was too poor to do anything about it, but rather that the garden's owner thought that there were much more important things than ancestors, which was a pretty unusual point of view for an aristocrat. They also apparently thought that there were more important things than property repair. When he rang the bell of the rather pleasant old house itself, in the middle of a flourishing rhododendron forest, several bits of the plaster facade fell off. That seemed to be the only effect, except that something round the back of the house started to howl, some things. It started to rain again. After a while, Vimes felt the dignity of his position and cautiously edged around the building, keeping well back in case anything else collapsed. He reached a heavy wooden gate in a heavy wooden wall. In contrast with the general decrepitude of the rest of the place, it seemed comparatively new and very solid. He knocked. This caused another fusillade of strange whistling noises. The door opened. Something dreadful loomed over him.
"Ah, good man, do you know anything about mating?" it boomed.
It was quiet and warm in the watchhouse. Carrot listened to the hissing of sand in the hourglass and concentrated on buffing up his breastplate. Centuries of tarnish had given up under his cheerful onslaught. It gleamed. You knew where you were with a shiny breastplate. The strangeness of the city, where they had all these laws and concentrated on ignoring them, was too much for him. But a shiny breastplate was a breastplate well shined. The door opened. He peered across the top of the ancient desk. There was no one there. He tried a few more industrious rubs. There was the vague sound of someone who had got fed up with waiting. Two purple fingernailed hands grasped the edge of the desk, and the librarian's face rose slowly into view like an early morning coconut.
"Ook," he said.
Carrot stared. It had been explained to him carefully that, contrary to appearances, laws governing the animal kingdom did not apply to the librarian. On the other hand, the librarian himself was never very interested in obeying the laws governing the human kingdom either. He was one of those little anomalies you have to build around.